Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
We had to keep up the pressure. We took some flack along the way. But with the help of HRC, we got it done. And don't ask, don't tell is history. You should never have to look over your shoulder to be gay in the United States of America. That's why we got it done. There are those who don't want to just stand in our way, but want to turn the clock back, who want to return to the days when gay people couldn't serve their country openly, who reject the progress that we've made, who, as we speak, are looking to enshrine discrimination into state laws and constitutions.
That's President Barack Obama speaking last weekend at the Human Rights Campaign Banquet, HRC, a major gay rights organization, recounting not only his own record, but talking about those who want to turn back the clock. Joining us to talk about that speech and about the Defense of Marriage Act in just a few minutes, Dr. Jennifer Robach-Moore. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm very well. Is it an overstatement? The president was pretty earnest to explain his record, his track record on homosexual rights. Is it an overstatement to call President Obama the most pro-gay president ever?
I think it is no overstatement at all. I think he certainly is the most pro-gay president that we have ever had. And I think that his facile comparison of the gay rights movement with the historic civil rights movement that allowed African Americans the right to vote and everything else that was done for African Americans, that is an equation that is just appalling to the average African-American person. And I think, honestly, he's shown people here in this speech, in this Human Rights Campaign speech that he made, he's shown that he's not he's more gay than he is black.
What I don't find easy to understand here, Jennifer, maybe you can help, is it was just last week, or within the last 2 weeks at least, that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was officially rescinded in the military. And there's the president this last weekend talking to Human Rights Campaign, sounding like he's still fighting to have it overturned, sounding like, well, there are people who want to turn back the clock and don't want them to serve. I don't know what the goal here is, because he got exactly what he and Human Rights Campaign wanted. They have eliminated Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What's going on?
And the other thing that's similar to that is that if you remember when Don't Ask, Don't Tell went in, that was something that the gay rights movement wanted, because that was something that made it more possible for gays to serve. So I think the overriding thing that you see here is that this is a group of people, the gay lobby, broadly conceived, the gay lobby is never going to be satisfied. There is never going to be enough that you're going to do for them, that they're going to say, yep, we're done, we're equal, we can go home and raise our kids and have barbecues in the backyard, and we'll be just like everybody else because everything is just like everybody else. This is a group of people who is not going to be satisfied, and his speech is basically telling you that, and he's basically signaling to African Americans, most of whom abhor the whole gay rights agenda, or large parts of the gay rights agenda. Certainly, African Americans are good Christian people who are absolutely opposed to same-sex marriage and the equation of same-sex marriage with black civil rights. He's telling the African American community that I work for the gay lobby, I don't work for you. And he's told them that in so many words, and it's amazing to me that he gets away with this sort of thing. And I know privately that a lot of African Americans are having buyer's remorse about him, but he is certainly working for the gay lobby a whole lot more than he's working for the African American community.
With only about a minute before we take a break here, and we'll pick up on the other side, what does it signal? What does that speech to the Human Rights Campaign signal to you with respect to the president's hopes for the gay marriage agenda? About a minute before a break.
Well, I think, President Obama has been evolving, you know, Todd. He's been evolving all of this time, and he's evolving right out of his mind is what he's doing, because he's moving more and more toward the position of just flat out coming out and saying, I'm in favor of full-fledged marriage equality. And the gay lobby, they're never happy until you say that, you know. But everything he's done and everything that he, every policy he's enacted and every administrative decision that he's made and everything else has, in fact, been pushing towards the redefinition of marriage as the union of any two persons instead of marriage being a lifelong union of a man and a woman ordered toward the procreation and rearing of children and to the good of the spouses. He's got a whole different definition of marriage going here, and every step he's taking, he's evolving towards the human rights campaign's understanding of marriage.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. We'll take a break, and she'll be with us for the last 10 minutes of this hour, live this Wednesday, October the 5th. Here on Issues Etc., talk a little bit more about President Obama's speech to Human Rights Campaign, and then the Supreme Court is going to take up, well, a Defense of Marriage Act that isn't really being defended. Is that a foregone conclusion? We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. We're talking about President Obama's speech to the Human Rights Campaign, essentially the gay lobby, or at least one of the front groups for the gay lobby. Jennifer, one of the things I don't think the president did mention in his speech, but I think it's rather significant, and that is his Supreme Court picks. Without going into great detail as to the records here, does his pick for Supreme Court justices, not only in this term, but perhaps in a second term, does that play into the equation about how quickly advances the gay agenda in the United States?
Oh, Todd, no question about it. I mean, if Obama is reelected and he gets to put one more person on the Supreme Court, the whole gay agenda will just go marching right through the door. You know, there'll be no stopping it. As things stand now, both sides of the Prop 8 case, for example, are pitching their arguments toward Justice Anthony Kennedy because they think he will be the swing vote. Okay, but if they don't have to be pitching toward Anthony Kennedy, if a more liberal or gay-friendly justices put on the court, they won't have to worry about any kind of compromise. They won't have to be pitching their program toward Anthony Kennedy. It'll just go sailing through. So his potential picks for the Supreme Court is a hugely important issue, and I think anybody who's concerned about the social issues needs to be very concerned about reelecting Obama and who he might put on the court. And also, frankly, social conservatives need to be looking closely at the Republican Party candidates and asking them very bluntly, what kind of person are you planning to put on the Supreme Court? You know, can we count on you to put somebody like John Roberts or Sam Alito on there? Or are you going to give us another David Souter? I think that the question of the personnel on the Supreme Court is an extremely important political question for everyone to be thinking about.
Speaking of the Supreme Court, of course, they begin a new session. One of the things they're taking up is the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act. Earlier this year, President Obama's Justice Department announced that they would not support its constitutionality, they would not defend it in court. And then it's announced today that the House of Representatives have devoted to triple the budget in order to mount some kind of defense in lieu of the president not defending it. How important is DOMA for marriage, the future of traditional marriage in America?
Well, I mean, we really need to keep the Defense of Marriage Act in place if we're going to have any chance at all of protecting the institution of marriage as the union of a man and a woman. I mean, what DOMA does is give the states the right to have a policy that's independent of their neighboring state and that's independent of the federal government. So failing to defend DOMA is Obama's way of saying that he wants a national policy of same-sex marriage everywhere. The Republican-controlled Congress is fighting to defend DOMA, is mounting some kind of defense. They're simply doing their duty. I mean, DOMA is the law of the land, and the government is supposed to protect it. Is supposed to defend its own laws in court. That's a responsibility. The executive branch should be doing it, but since they've refused to do it, Congress has had to step in and take care of that.
Some would say that in this time of fiscal responsibility, kind of the ongoing fiscal meltdown of the United States, it especially for self-proclaimed fiscal conservatives, it's irresponsible to be tripling a budget, spending more money to defend what the president doesn't think should be defended as constitutional. How would you respond?
Okay, Todd, are you trying to make me mad? I mean, are you just trying to get me upset? I mean, look, first of all, if DOMA goes down, you'll be paying out more Social Security benefits to gay partners, okay? So the amount of money that it's going to cost to defend DOMA in court is not very much in comparison with the potential flood of benefits that could be flowing from some kind of redefinition of marriage. That's point one. Point two, if Obama and the Democrats really want to save some money on social issues, why don't they stop spending taxpayer money on Planned Parenthood? For crying out loud, they're forcing states that have defunded Planned Parenthood to refund Planned Parenthood. It's ridiculous. So, you know, why is the Obama administration undertaking this massive social experiment that's going to have all kind of implementation costs called Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Why are they doing that at a time of fiscal austerity? If they want to just save money, why are they redoing all sorts of things that are going to have to be done in order to implement the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? They're very plainly pandering to a particular constituency, and for them to be bringing up an argument like that is just ridiculous. It's changing the subject, Todd. It's the sort of thing that we've come to expect from the marriage redefiners and the lifestyle left. They change the subject whenever they run out of arguments.
Why do you think it's so important to President Obama to make sure that the Human Rights Campaign and more broadly, those who want to redefine marriage and advance the gay agenda, why do you think it's so important for him right now that he solidified their support by the litany of things he's done for them in the last 4 years?
Well, that's a very interesting question. You're asking me to analyze somebody's political motives, and you know that's not my forte. You know, I don't think like a politician, so I can't quite imagine what he's thinking. But I think he's looking at them and saying, okay, here is a group of people that have a lot of money and a lot of influence. There are a lot of gays in Hollywood. There are a lot of gays on Wall Street. There are a lot of gays in the media industries. And they have a lot of money. They have a lot of discretionary income. And they're going to be a lot of help to me in my campaign. And if I do what they want, they're going to help me. Black people are nice. I have a lot of black friends. My mom, my dad was black, and so on and so forth. But, you know, frankly, blacks don't have that much money, and they're going to vote for me anyway. So who cares if I make appointments and propose policies that are anathema to them? Who cares? They're not going anywhere. So I, as best I can make out, I would guess that's the sort of thing that he's thinking. Now, it's also possible that he doesn't care a whit about the money, he doesn't care a whit about the campaign contributions, that all he cares about is the ideological agenda of promoting the redefinition of marriage and everything that goes along with that. And if that's true, I think we have, you know, even more cause to be concerned, because really what that group of people is doing, the whole lifestyle left, gay lobby, pro-Planned Parenthood, all of those people, what they're really doing, Todd, is promoting an alternative moral universe in which sex is normatively sterile, in which sex doesn't make babies, only unprotected sex makes babies, now, in which marriage is completely optional, and whether kids need a mom and a dad, well, you know, that's just kind of negotiable. We're not going to worry about that. And then after all, if the kids fall between the cracks, the government will be there to take care of them. So that's the world that that group of people is trying to bring into being. And they think it's a world of freedom. They think it's a world of fun and personal liberation. But I think, in point of fact, that they are quite mistaken about that, and I think we know from the experience of the past 40 years that they're mistaken about that. And honestly, I think they need to be stopped, because what they're doing is mad.
With only a minute here, Jennifer, you mentioned before, and this is the president's own admission, albeit earlier in his term, that his view on marriage and same-sex marriage is ever-evolving. Do you think it's actually evolved, and we're just now kind of finding out what it has become?
Oh, Todd, honestly, if I could look into his mind and know what he actually thinks, I think that he has always thought this. I just think he now thinks it's politically expedient to reveal more of what he thinks. You know, in other words, he lives a traditional lifestyle. He is like many people in the upper classes of the United States and the highly educated professional elites. He lives a very traditional Leave It to Beaver lifestyle. That there he is with his wife and her, you know, his very attractive wife and his lovely daughters, and he goes to a nice job every day, and he comes home every night, and he has a very conventional lifestyle. But he has no respect for that lifestyle as something that's of value and something that's of help for other people, and something that the state needs to at least provide the framework for so that other people can have access to it. That whole group of people is ideologically committed to breaking down the connection between marriage and sex and procreation, even though they and their families are taking full advantage of it and benefiting from it completely.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Check out the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute tonight. Just go to the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you again.
You're welcome.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, we're going to be talking with Dr. Andrew Steinman, part two of a six-part series we're doing with him on biblical chronology. We laid out the place of time and how time is understood in the ancient world when we talked to him last. Today, we need to establish some benchmarks, some anchors in history whereby we can begin to accurately date all the events of the Old and New Testament. The New Testament isn't so hard because we're talking about a very short amount of time, and the events are more proximate, and they're easier to correlate with history outside of the Bible. The Old Testament is a little difficult, but with a little homework, there are two events, the reign of King Solomon and the date of the Exodus from Egypt, that can be established, and thereby you can date just about everything in the Old Testament. We'll see how that's done in the second hour of the program. Then Rick Horton will join us. He's a Cardinals broadcaster. The Cardinals get ready for a first pitch this afternoon in a game that could end it for them with the Phillies. We'll talk about that game and the Cardinals' prospects in Hour 2 in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.